and passages that passed through my mind before this meeting. But what settled on my mind tonight is it's a good subject. It's an important subject, and I found it by listening to a recording of a preacher who's long passed. And he was a pastor at Little Vine many years before I even came among the Primitive Baptists. His name was Elder John Miles Blackshear. He had a sermon over in the Bear Creek Association back in 1981, and I can imagine what I was doing in 1981. It certainly was not church related. I was trying to go to school at Wallace at that time, and trying to look for a better, I guess you say, career path that I had in my mind at that time. But what it ended up is that I went to school for a couple of years at Wallace, and then got a job out at Farley, and then I started going to take some classes at Troy and Dothan. But it seems like every time I made an endeavor to make a career path, it was not the way I wanted it to turn out. And so it's important to know that there's a better path for us to travel on. Right. From the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, it's a good message from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he is reminding his disciples that he was going to go away from them. He had a business to attend, and they were all up in arms. And he probably read their hearts, knowing the burdens that they were seeing to transpose before their eyes, the things that the Lord was sent to do, and that was to pay for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And when they saw him speaking unto them, these sayings were actually post the Last Supper, before they went out into the Garden of Gethsemane. So these things, the Lord spoke many things to his disciples, but I'll speak from the very first verse. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Well, a lot of times we find a lot of trouble in our lives that seems as though what can give us comfort? But Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." So there's comfort in believing in God and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him at his word. There's comfort there. So he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he goes on to say, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Some people of different denominations believe that if you work hard enough in this life doing good works, it's depending on how big a mansion you're going to receive it when you enter heaven. And I was taught that when I was among the Southern Baptists, and I was reminded by a father-in-law who was a deacon at the time that, no, our rewards are now. Our rewards are now. That heavenly home is reserved. And I read that over in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's an inheritance reserved, undefiled, and fadeth not away. And it's ours by inheritance, not by our work. And I began to realize that we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. So there's no big I's and no little U's in heaven. I believe if depending on the fact that I read a parable one time about a man who was contracted to his master for a penny, and then he began to work, and then later on in the time period of the work scope, others came in for that same payment. And so what we receive is all the gift of God, and it's not of anything that we've done or works. lest any man should boast. And so there's no boasting among the fact that our home is in heaven. So he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. The Lord spoke plainly unto his disciples. And there are many times that he spoke plainly unto his disciples and spoke many things to others in parables. And he said, there was asked the Lord a question. He said, why speak unto these folks parables? He said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but is given unto you. So the things that we have is the mystery, is the secret things that God held back in the Old Testament days, but now has brought it to our understanding and revelation in the New Testament times. So we have some things that we can consider in this day and age, that what pathway should we be on? I thought many times through my 38-year career at the plant that what would you have me to do? And then I began to become lonely because of the fact that when you work a lot of times, work long hours and stuff, you don't have much time to socialize with other folks. And I prayed to the Lord, give me a wife. I was lonely. I saw others getting married. I saw other people happy. And I desired that for myself. Now, that was way before I came to be among the Primitive Baptists. So the Lord blessed me to find a wife that actually was raised Primitive Baptist. So that's God's providence that he has given unto me by the fact that he sent unto me a wife that I would love, that would love me, and that I would grow old together with. Now, I know a lot of times people in this life don't have a tendency to want to grow old together. They just don't want to get along so well that they don't even want to even be around each other anymore. And so that's not my prayer that I have in my heart, that when I prayed to God, I wanted a life for wife, a wife for life. And I believe the Lord gave me somebody for life. And I don't know how long I have on this world, and we all don't. But we know that the Lord blesses those in their following him among him. Now, I know I didn't follow the truth. I didn't know the truth. I was never taught the truth. But I know one thing for certain, that that God is in heaven and that Jesus is real. Now, how I understood about what Jesus did was clouded. All I knew was what I was taught by others. But then I began to hear what the Primitive Baptists preach, and I began to, it grated me. It was like sandpaper against my skin, and I began to repel against it, and I strove hard to look into scriptures to prove whatever was said behind a pulpit, whether it be down at Little Vine Church or New Prospect or whether it be here, I determined to prove them wrong. And as much as I tried, I saw that the Lord has started opening up unto me the understanding of his sovereignty and of his free grace. And then I began to learn a little bit as I went along. I didn't understand it all to begin with. Nobody ever unites with a church, whether they're young or old. They're in a learning pattern, and they should be taught by those that the Lord blesses to preach the truth. But I began to see the areas of my career where it would go this way and then it would go that way. There would be closed doors in one place that I was trying to get into. You know, as I left high school, that where was I going to go? And you know, if I want to tell you what my dad wanted me to do, he said, join the U.S. Navy. You know, it'll make you a man. But, you know, my brother tried to join the Navy, and he was 4F. And who's to say what would I be? Because I'm not a perfect health specimen myself. I mean, you may say, well, you look young, Brother Evans. But I feel like if you look at my medical chart, you say I'm a pretty old man. I have a lot of maladies in myself that I wish that I didn't have, but the Lord suffered it that came upon me, so I deal with it. But it's like the little book that I read one time, Elder David Bridgman, that wrote about the way the Lord has led me. I read that little book. Sister Martha had that book when she was a little girl. I read that book, and it was a wonderful peace that it brought to my heart that I can read a book about a man who knew where the Lord was going to lead him, not knowing where I'm going, but yet the Lord knows exactly where he's intended for me to go. And then as I follow, I go and walk by faith and not by sight and not realizing where I'm going, but yet the Lord knows where I'm going. He knows exactly where we're going. And in fact, the final home that we're going is heaven, and that's where he knows his children are going to be. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I pray the Lord's presence with us this day, this evening, and even in our daily walk. You know, I feel like sometimes I heard Brother Darrell Chambers up there in North Alabama say that the fact of the matter where two or three are gathered together in his name is to settle an argument, settle a disagreement. That was Matthew 18's prescription on what to do if you're at variance with your brother. That doesn't mean that the church has to be two or three. It means the church's houses should be full. And I'm glad, I love the fact to see the houses full from time to time, because oftentimes I see it not very full like it used to be. But the Lord said, I go to prepare a place. That's the place that is prepared for us, that we could not enter therein because of our sin. And what was that place he went to prepare? It at the cross of Calvary, where he paid the sin debt. And so that's where we can be home in heaven forevermore. Now he says, there ye may be also. See, when Jesus died on the cross, we died. When Jesus risen from the dead, we're risen in like manner. And where our life is hid in him. No man can touch it. No man can grab it. No man can destroy it. And we, like his sheep, are in his hands. And no man's greater than him to take us out of his possession. You know, we are not our own. We're bought with a price. So glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are both God. You know, a lot of people want to say, it's my body. I want to do as I so desire with it. But that's not what the Word says for us to do. If we are God's children, and I believe there's a lot of God's children out there feel like in their heart they want to do this or that to themselves. That's not convenient. And basically, it's a sin. Not that you might be hurting others, but I think you are hurting others. But you're also... it's a sin that you hurt your own self. And we're to abstain from that, because that's not being on the path that he has given unto us. And whither ye go, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. It's a good question. Good answer. Way. You know, I remember a time that back in the Old Testament, Abraham sent his servant to go get a bride for his son. And as he came to that place, he made this statement in Genesis 24:27. I being in the way. I being in the way. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. You know, when we come to this house, are we not led to the house of your master's brethren? This is the house of God. And where God's children are, that's the brethren of Jesus Christ. He's our elder brother. So I being in the way, and that's the quotation that Brother John Miles read from in the beginning of his sermon, that I being in the way. You know, it's a way that we see. You know, I see another scripture where it says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. There's a way, and then being in the way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof is the ways of death, or the ways of death. You know, there's a lot of ways man can go. They go north, south, east, west, up and down, side to side, round in a circle. And if it's according to what the man thinketh, as a man thinketh, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's man in his vanity that gets in his mind, I know I got a way that I can go, and I can choose the way that I desire in my life based on what it feels right to my flesh. But the end thereof is always are the ways of death. That was a proverb that was written twice in Proverbs. It's very important to understand that there's a way which seemeth right unto a man versus being in the way. You know, it says over here in the Proverbs that the way of righteousness is life. And the pathway thereof is no death. So there is a good way. You know, we're to train our children up in the way which he should go, in the way which he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. I feel as though that have we fully understood which way should we go? What pathway should we be on? Well, if the Lord has already established the way, and we should know it, because he says, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. How do we know it? Well, when he sends forth his spirit into our heart, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, that way is already established before us. Right. We've not received the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. We have received the Holy Ghost. And here's Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we not know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? How can we know the path we should be on? Well, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. He's the way. He's the way of righteousness. He's the way that leadeth to life. You know, I think we can consider that even in the denominational world, there's folks that don't believe in the truth of the Word of God, and their way is not the way of God. They're very religious people. They're very sincere about what they believe. And I believe many of them are God's children. Deeply in their heart, I believe the Spirit of God dwells in their heart. But one thing is that they're not in the right way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but it's not the right way. It's a way. And there are many ways a man can go. Just like there's doctrines in the world that is like we're being on a ship tossed by every wind of doctrine that cometh from this world. Men have great imaginations. They may have many gifts. They can carve things into statues of stone or wood or metal and worship them and bow down to them, but they have no ears that they may hear, no eyes that they may see, and no hands that they may reach and heal and touch the lives of those that worship them. They're all the invention and the imagination of man, and those things that man have determined in their heart to do brings forth death and separation from God. We need to draw nigh to the Lord. He'll draw nigh to us. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only way to heaven. He doesn't build a bridge that we might cross over to the way. He is the means of our eternal life. He is the means of our life abundance. He is the means of our peace and our joy in the Holy Ghost while we abide in the kingdom of God in this time world. Any other way is not going to be the way. In verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. Also, from the henceforth, ye know him and ye have seen him. They've seen God manifest in the flesh, speaking unto them, tending to them, ministering unto them. You know, he came to minister and not to be ministered unto. But isn't it wonderful that we can worship him where he is? He is set down at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He had been in the presence of God all those years as he followed him. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I believe I have fulfilled what I'm going to speak on tonight. It's about time to move over so Brother Stanley can speak the remainder of the time. But I do ask that we examine ourselves closely. You know, we're not supposed to be looking on what somebody else is doing. And, right. Hey, what are they doing wrong? What are they not doing right? What are they? Look on the things of yourself. Examine yourself. Tend to your own business. Mind your own business. Maybe you can correct the direction that you're going in your life, because this is the guide. This is the guide that gives us instructions on which way we ought to go. May God add his blessings to you.